The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding road shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. In the readings today, there seems to be a strong focus on road construction, on making these highways to connect places. In the first reading, making this highway so the exiles in Babylon can return to the promised land, and in the gospel to make straight the way of the Lord, to prepare the way for Jesus to come into the world, as John the Baptist did as the precursor to Jesus. I actually worked in road construction, but only for one summer. Frankly, because I wasn't very good at it. So if it was more than a summer, we probably would have been in trouble. But the summer I did work, I worked diligently at Kellogg and Rock. So if you've enjoyed the underpasses from here to Andover, basically you're welcome. Because it probably wouldn't have gotten done without me. But that road construction, or what we hear about this preparing the path of the Lord, seems like a very earthly and physical thing. Like something that we do with our hands, that we need somebody to be out there physically doing it. And yet the repentance and this kingdom that John the Baptist speaks of is a very not physical thing. When we think of repentance of our sins, when we think of salvation or the kingdom of God, it's a very kind of unphysical thing. It's spiritual. It's the kingdom of heaven that might seem far off to us. But for Jesus and John the Baptist and the other Jews at the time of Jesus in the first century, heaven and earth were different places, but they didn't seem so far apart. They didn't seem like dramatically different places. Instead, they saw heaven as coming down and touching earth regularly. That's what they would experience when they experienced God's goodness, like they did in the Exodus or in the gift of the Promised Land. It's especially what the temple and the city of Jerusalem represented for them. That was a place that not we had ascended to God, but that God had descended and come close to us. That in a mysterious and sort of magical way, we could experience those non-physical things of heaven. And yet, John the Baptist goes out and he preaches this repentance. He's literally baptizing people with water in the Jordan River. But there seems to be a physical component to it. Physical thing that we have to do differently. I don't think that's because John insisted that everybody go out and live in the wilderness and eat on wild locusts and honey like he did. But instead, it's meant to show that this salvation that God promises is actually supposed to make a real impact on our lives. So our job is to prepare the way, is to clear the way for God to come. That we can't force him to change us or come in power and goodness, but we can sort of make a way for it to be easier. This highway or path that they're talking about was often used either in the return of the people from exile or when a king came to a new place. I can imagine the prophet Baruch talking to these people generations after the Babylonian exile. And they're saying, God will send our people back. Not just random people, but when the Babylonians took the Israelites captive, they took really all the best people. They took all the scholars, they took all the leaders, they took all the people that had experience doing the things of the Lord. And so Israel felt like they were really missing something. Something that had been taken away from them. So Baruch's saying God will restore that and he'll give that back to us, but our job is to prepare the way. Not in an abstract sense, but they probably knew literally the path, literally the highway that led them out of Israel. That decades before that, people had been taken away from them, and that's where they would come back to. And so when Baruch tells them to prepare the way, he's probably thinking about, go clear the path. Get rid of the obstacles that would keep those people from returning. That when they are released and God brings them back to us, we can receive them with joy. Similarly, this repentance that John preaches in the desert is meant to say that God is doing something. He is sending somebody that John knows is actually present in the world. That God is sending the Messiah, but our job is to prepare the way. To fill up the valleys and make low the mountains and hills. Again, not necessarily in a physical way, but in, I would say, a real way. To remove those obstacles that would keep us from receiving God's goodness. Sacramental theology, we refer to that as an obex. Obex is just a fancy Latin word that means obstacle. And when we look at God working in the sacraments, we believe that he always shows up. He always gives us the sanctifying grace that we need, especially in baptism. He gives us the fullness of his body and blood in the Eucharist. He always offers us an ocean of mercy in confession and fills us and seals us with the Holy Spirit in confirmation. And yet it can be easy for us to look around either in our own lives or the people that we know. We can say, it kind of looks like there's a lot of difference. What people's lives look like after they've received baptism, either as infants or as adults. Those that maybe grew up in the faith and received all the sacraments, but now are either joyfully following the Lord or seem to be far away from him. So it can be easy to think, well, maybe God just decides ahead of time who deserves his grace and who he's going to kind of hold back on. But our theology says, no, God never holds anything back. But when we see these differences, it's usually a result of an obex. That there's an obstacle in our heart or in our soul that prevents us from receiving the fullness of that sanctifying grace. Our job is to get rid of the obstacle. And even after we've received the sacrament, that we can get rid of that to receive the sanctifying grace that God has always been bestowing upon us. Especially true in terms of sin, but oftentimes just the lies and temptations we listen to from the devil can be that obstacle from receiving the fullness of God's goodness. Brothers and sisters, I think that's what John the Baptist wanted the people at the time to do. That he knew that Jesus was coming very imminently, much like we might know the celebration of Christmas is coming very imminently. He knew that God was going to do something, that he wanted to bring this salvation. And he wanted to set people free and show them that they didn't have to live in the same way. But they could live in the new life of Christ. But John also knew that people needed to remove those obstacles. To fill up the valleys. Maybe fill up their valleys of coldness towards their neighbor or towards the poor. Maybe fill up their time in prayer or in their trust and confidence in God. Maybe they needed to make low the hills and mountains of their pride or of their selfishness or just of their indifference to people around them. And John knew that if they did that, if they removed those obstacles and lived a life of repentance, then when Jesus showed up, they would be ready to follow him. They would rejoice to see the new life that he was promising. Not always an easy life, but a life that leads to the eternal life of heaven, a life of generosity and goodness and love. That is what this season of Advent is meant to be for us, a time of repentance to remove those obstacles. So that when Christ does show up, we receive him with great joy to live that new life he desires for us. Actually, I think another story in the Gospels shows this very well. It's actually also from the Gospel of Luke, which is what our Gospel is from today. It's the story of the prodigal son. And when the son has gone out and squandered everything that his father gave him, he's put up all these obstacles and barriers to the relationship between him and his father. He's gone off and wasted it with a life of dissipation, and he finally decides to turn back, to literally be converted, to turn back and walk towards his father's house. And he has to go part of the way. He has to clear the path a little bit. But the father, as soon as he sees him in the distance, runs out to greet him with joy. Runs out to offer him that mercy and forgiveness. And also runs out to give him literally new life. Not just overlooking the sins that he committed and saying, oh, it's no big deal that you wasted half of my possessions. But the father actually offers the prodigal son a different way to live. If you remember, the prodigal son just expects things to be basically like they were before. He says, Father, I'll come back. Don't worry. You can just treat me like a servant. Give me a job. I would like a little bit of food and a roof over my head, and that will be good enough. But the father says, I can't just give you that. Instead, I want you to give you a new life, the new life truly of a son. So he puts a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, and a robe around him to show that he is the son, hoping that he'll live differently as a son than he did the first time around. I think that when the father goes out to meet the prodigal son, he wants to show him the new life that he can live. Similarly, if we live the season of Advent well, if we remove those obstacles of our heart and prepare the way of the Lord, we too can rejoice when he comes in his birth at Christmas. We too can rejoice in that new life that he desires to give us. A new life that leads us to imitating Christ, our Savior. It leads to a life of generous and merciful love here on this earth and for eternal life in heaven.